Don't we all?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so we're doing this a little earlier than we usually do these podcasts, Rob, because this is a derby, after all, and these are critical games in more ways than one. Would you agree?
Oh, yes. Almost certainly.
And this edition was, well, perhaps not so surprising. It finished goalless at a stadium called Wanda. And not really sure where to go with this one. Not really sure, not necessarily where we start, but how to feel about this one, Rob. How do you feel about it after watching another goalless draw between Atletico and Real Madrid?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose in some ways the result is an unexpected. I guess really the disappointing thing for me is that Atleti didn't win it, which I guess is somewhat of a welcome surprise as opposed to recent years where they were really hanging on. It felt like they had, I mean, not a great deal of chances, but they had a couple of opportunities that had they taken them, they could have gotten a goal.
Yeah.
Overall, a decent performance, though.
That's kind of where I stand. Just the one shot on target from seven attempts. Real Madrid had 14 shots, three on target. But that is, in a way, misleading because 10 of Madrid's 14 shots came from outside the box.
Yeah. And they were not close.
Oblak did have to make one really, really big save, though, which we will get to. But, yeah, overall, I think this was fine from Atletico. My concern... I went on Facebook Live at halftime and said this. My concern entering the second half was that there were more ways Madrid could change the game than Atletico could. And that was true. Madrid did play better in the second half. They did get the chance through Benzema, through on Modric, former future Atletico great James for Eden Hazard, and Luka Jovic at the end, while Atleti went with Angel Correa for Vitolo, Lemar for Logi, which was a really interesting change, and Marco Llorente for João Félix. You know, that's kind of part and parcel for having the options, the financial muscle that Madrid have, is you can put those guys on your bench and try to pull out a late winner. But Atletico did stand tall overall defensively. That's now, what is that, three straight clean sheets now after conceding six goals in three games? That's not too shabby overall.
Yeah, and I thought the defense played well in general. Savage and Jimenez have looked like a fantastic partnership to start this season. You can't really fault either of those two guys for the start they've had to the year. They've been great.
No, Savage in particular was very good again. Won four headers, 85% pass accuracy, six clearances, which I believe led all players.
Yeah, I thought they were both great. I think Jimenez did quite well. Alongside Savage, I mean, he was involved a lot, shall we say. He was very physical and did a good job with it. He was restrained, though. It wasn't the kind of loose cannon Jimenez we've seen in the past.
Yeah, and that's the maturity and the emergence he has made dating back really a year and a half at this point. Kind of utilizing his array of skills into one cohesive whole and not making really devastating errors like he used to make. Jimenez uses his athleticism and his speed for good rather than, you know, for not so good.
Right, yeah. The defense, I think, in general played well. I mean, Lodi coming off was a bit of a shame, but I understand why it happened, I guess. But I think, again, Trippier looked pretty integral to everything Atleti was doing.
Yeah, and on the center backs, just for a second, Hermoso wasn't even on the bench, Rob. It's going to be an adventure for him to get back into Cholo's plans. It's not looking so good for him right now with Savage and Jimenez playing the way they are, and even Felipe Montero playing the way he is.
Yeah, Felipe has won that third center back spot, I would say.
At least for now, that's pretty clearly where he's at. But yeah, on the fullbacks, Trippier, again, really good. Just hard to find much fault with him. He was given a really tough matchup, of course, with one Eden Hazard. But he held his own. Hazard isn't really in form yet, still coming off an injury, but always a very dangerous world-class player on his day. And Trippier did a nice job kind of locking him up, completed 86% of his passes across 78 touches. Eight crosses, only one accurate, but just the ability to fling danger into the box, take set pieces, that's why Trippier has been important. And the Logi for Lemar's substitute was a very interesting one. Because I thought Logie was okay. There wasn't much danger coming from his side. Gareth Bale only really got away once or twice over the hour that Logie was out there. But it was interesting, and I think Lamar played well. A bit more aggressive in driving play than we're used to seeing from him.
Yeah, definitely. I thought he did well. I even thought Marcos Llorente did fairly well when he came on. It was a good midfield to start the match. I know that he put up some pretty decent stats. I thought Solul had kind of a tough day, all things considered. I mean, he put in a lot of tackles and was decent, but I think going forward, he left a little bit to be desired.
I thought Saul was better when he went to left back.
Yeah, that's, which is crazy.
That's kind of the state of things for Saul right now. I thought he played much better and was much more like authoritative and critical to the defensive fortunes when he moved to left back. He's just not feeling it in central midfield right now, and that is a concern we talked about last week, and we're kind of going to keep talking about it because Saul and Koke, to a lesser degree, they weren't so great on Saturday, but Thomas Partey was.
Yeah, man of the match for sure for me.
Thomas Partey was really great, wasn't he?
I mean, he looked like an 80 million euro central midfielder. He did absolutely everything.
Hashtag renew Thomas.
For real. I mean, for real. He was beastly, not only defensively, but also driving the team forward. He was excellent.
Yeah, it did. It was obvious in the first 15 minutes that he was already doing everything. He took 97 touches today, Rob. Only Toni Kroos took more. And he took 98. Thomas really did about everything. His passing was just really accurate, on the money just about every time. He broke up play, particularly in the first half, broke up play really, really well, and looked like a midfield leader out there. He's been just really great this first month. And kind of like Hermoso is struggling to win a place in central defense, that's what Marcos Llorente is kind of going through. And Llorente is playing a bit, had a nice 20-minute cameo today, had also a solid run out in Mallorca after Morata got sent off Wednesday. But Thomas, this place in midfield, it's got to be his until his form dips, if it dips.
Yeah, I mean, he looks brilliant. And, I mean, you think about the past few years, and it was always sort of seen that Saul and Koke had the higher ceiling than Tomas. But from the performance today against, you know, one of the best sides in the country, he looked like the best midfielder out of the three. He looked like the most talented, both physically and technically. He was unbelievable.
I think he was probably the best player on the pitch.
I think so.
Yeah, I
don't think there's really much question about it. I mean, unless you want to say Savage, but
yeah, for Atletico, I think Thomas was the best. I think Toni Kroos was really good. And Ramos and Varane both played really well. There was just really no way through those guys. And that is where you really missed Alvaro Morata.
Yeah.
Yeah. Morata could have won a few of those headers that Ramos and Varane won really easily. They took Costa out of the game, although Costa kind of does that to himself these days. João Félix couldn't get going. But this is where I thought you really missed Morata. In the second half when things tightened up. Or in the first half when things were tight, and the second half when things opened up, rather, this is where you really missed Morata kind of bringing down headers, holding up play, and he had to go and get himself suspended.
Yeah, exactly. It was a stupid thing midweek.
Yeah, it was just
whatever weird. You think about that decision, it was dumb. The club appealed it and then got fined for even appealing it, so whatever.
Yeah, of course they
did. Stupid. Stupid. But, yeah, I mean, I thought Costa was pretty abysmal. I'm not sure he really did anything today.
No shots on target. 1-3 headers. The combination with João Félix is very much up and down. It looked great against Mallorca. Didn't really do anything of note against Madrid. Obviously, quite a gap in quality between Mallorca and Real Madrid. But there is continuity there, but there's not really a similar wavelength yet. Costa and Griezmann kind of had the same issues when they played together.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I certainly think João Félix was sloppy at times. I don't think it was a particularly bad performance. He tried to make stuff happen when he was on the ball, and it still felt a little bit electric whenever he had the ball at his feet. But Costa just looked slow and like he wasn't contributing really much of anything. He wasn't even winning the physical battles, which at the very least you expect him to do.
At the very least he should be doing, right.
Yeah. Like, it's okay that he's lost a step, sure, but he needs to be winning the physical battles if he's going to be at all helpful.
Right. I mean, Simeone's going to keep playing him no matter what, because he loves Costa. And at least he's healthy. I mean, at least he's a body out there. Because if he wasn't healthy, we'd have to start Correa.
It's strange. We thought before the season, it's like, oh, well, we have Costa and João Félix and Correa. It's like, well, we really don't have that much depth as much as we thought we did up front, which is somewhat concerning. I know that there were some calls by some people on Twitter for Ivan Safanovic, or however you pronounce his last name, to be on the bench, but nah.
No, Cholo very clearly does not rate him, and it's pretty clear that Atleti took him on as a favor to Mendes. Because Mendes kind of only brought in João Félix, so if you have to take in a player, you do it.
Maybe he's going to end up being good, who knows, but he hasn't really gotten a look in since the first couple match days.
No, Cholo just does not rate him for whatever reason. He looked okay in the preseason, nothing special, but even in the preseason, Cholo hooked him off pretty early.
Yeah, I mean, you feel like some of the academy guys. I mean, I just would like to have someone other than Correa on the bench in terms of a striker, because...
I know.
Whatever you think about Correa, he's just not a striker.
Yeah, I mean, he's not really a winger either.
He's not really anything, but which is one of the main problems. But there's just not even like an academy striker on the bench, which feels concerning.
No, it's difficult. And Correa, we kind of saw again. He was very lively, really skillful, got around multiple defenders on multiple occasions. But it's, again, the end product. It's the touch. It's the passing that is just off. And Atleti needs so much more from a player in that position that he just has never provided, and he's not going to provide, I don't feel.
Yep. Please get better soon, Borja Garcés.
I mean, Lemar, who I also have some qualms with, I thought Lemar was a lot more impactful than Correa in about 15 fewer minutes.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
He was more aggressive, and that's what we need to see out of him. He was more aggressive. His range of passing has always been good, but it looked really, really good on Saturday. There's a good player in there. He is a good player, but it's that aggression that is missing, and it was there today against Real Madrid, which is kind of the type of opposition it needs to be available against.
Yeah, and Marcus Llorente being on the pitch also potentially could allow you to play Saul a bit further forward and maybe hope to get him into a little bit of form, because we know primarily he's more talented going forward, so maybe sort of taking some of the defensive responsibility off his shoulders might be beneficial.
Yeah, and for Marcos, again, it's just a tough one for him. Because he has looked a little better his last couple cameos. Looks like he's starting to pick up a little bit of rhythm, a little bit of momentum, but there's just no place for him to start right now with the form that Thomas is in. Jan Oblak had a big game, really important one for him. Made that huge sprawling save on a Karim Benzema header about 15 minutes from time. That was almost certainly going in. Madrid's probably one big chance on the evening, and Oblak just kind of scurried it away. Really great save from the best keeper on the continent, Rob.
Yeah, it was a tremendous save. It was a good header from Benzema as well. It was going into the bottom corner, and Oblak pawed it away. He had a couple good opportunities, and, I mean, he looked just fine.
Atletico's best chance had come just a few minutes earlier from a Saul header from a corner. Again, Atletico generating their best opportunities from set pieces, which is good, I think, but also not good in the sense that open play opportunities are kind of hard to come by at the moment. But it is encouraging, as I wrote midweek, that Atleti are getting back to their roots somewhat. Set piece deliveries have been better. Saul's header just kind of may have skimmed the crossbar, although I think it went just beyond it. It had Courtois beat if it was going in.
Yeah, that chance, I mean, the one that is really the one that's regrettable for me is when Kieran Trippier was set free by Tomas
in
acres of space.
And just no one was in the box.
And it also went to Koke, who was probably like the had the worst opportunity to shoot from that position.
Yeah, he picked Koke out near post, and he barely even got the shot off. He totally scuffed it. When Llorente, this was a different opportunity. Llorente was streaking right up the middle of the pitch into the box. He was unmarked. He could have scored a goal.
Yeah, it was a great opportunity. It was, first of all, a tremendous pass by Tomas in the first place. I thought for sure that was going to be a goal, but it ended up kind of being a busted play, all things considered.
Yeah, and that was one of the moments, and those moments come few and far between in a game like this and against an opponent like this. And this was not a negative performance. That's, I think, kind of the key difference we can take from this game, is the last couple of years we have seen some very negative Madrid derbies, quite negative. This was not. This was, particularly in the second half, this was open, this was intense, this was physical. I thought it was well officiated for once, which was cool. Thomas got booked, I think, at the very end in stoppage time. And it was physical, but it was allowed to breathe. There was a flow to it. And I thought he didn't want to settle for the draw, even with Llorente coming on for João Félix. I thought he still pushed up, but just could not generate clear opportunities, which is, you know, still a problem.
I mean, if they track stats for most time spent lying on the floor, I think Nacho would be top of those charts.
He went
for
down
sure
easily four or five times.
And that's maybe a conservative guess. I'm not a big Nacho guy. That dude makes me very angry. Not a fan.
He's only 29, but he's been around, it feels like, for 20 years.
Yeah, not tired of him. But yeah, I mean, there's always going to be that element of a derby, but I think in general, like you said, it was well officiated, not too many cards. It was pretty, there were times when it got contentious, but I think the referee did a good job kind of keeping everything calm for the most part.
Yeah, so while Atletico's attack again kind of sputtered, there was more of an attempt, there was more ambition. You 45% possession, which, you know, in the past we've seen Atleti run up 30% possession at a home derby against Real Madrid, around the same away at the Bernabeu. This was more ambitious, this was more open, but is it a point gained or 2 points lost? Who's going to feel harder done by in terms of the result?
I mean, I think Atleti had the better chances, but I also think that they performed better. And like you said, we're so used to these games being a really flat performance from Atleti. So I feel encouraged, but at the same time, it's like you knew the chances were there for them to take all 3 points.
Yeah, the chances, the opportunities were there. Just this little lack of the proper decision making and the inaccuracy. But give credit to Atleti's defense as well. Madrid had 0.38 expected goals, which is insanely low. And only one really, really great chance, which was the Benzema header that All Black saved. So there are good and bad things. The defense stayed tight. Again, a third straight clean sheet dating back to the Juventus draw, the 2-2 in the Champions League. And that is a very positive sign. That's something Simeone is always going to preach and work on. And the attack did show a bit more impetus and a bit more initiative and ambition, and that was a positive thing. But is there some disappointment that this wasn't a win? Is this one that you need to have for the title, or is a draw against, you know, Real Madrid, Barcelona, those kinds of teams, are those less important than picking up points against teams in the middle of the table or in the bottom rung?
Yeah, it feels like if this team was going to win the title, which I don't think neither you nor I thought was going to happen this season, the start to the season sort of may have stirred some of those thoughts. But if you're going to win the title, you probably need to beat Real Madrid and or Barcelona at home, because more than likely in the away match is going to be even more difficult to take all 3 points.
Yeah, that's definitely the, in theory, that is definitely the concern, that the away fixtures tend to be tougher than the home fixtures. Madrid did win at a stadium called Wanda last season, though, in that VAR-fueled 3-1.
Yeah.
And the year Atleti did win the title one win from four against Madrid and Barcelona. The win at the Bernabeu and home draws against those two, and the, of course, the title sealer at the title sealing draw at Camp Nou. I think I disagree slightly in that I think a result like Celta Vigo was a lot more damaging than a draw against Real Madrid, because it doesn't help Madrid either, this draw. It helps Barcelona, if anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that is certainly true, and it helps Barcelona. I mean, I just think that with the way this early season has gone, with Real Madrid and Barcelona dropping points early on, you need to capitalize. And like I say, Celta Vigo was a damaging result, but to make up as much ground as you can and put as much distance as you can between yourselves and those teams would be the most ideal situation.
And there was distance after 3 weeks, but now...
Yeah.
Yeah, Atletico are now behind Real Madrid in the table, and I think Barcelona are now within a point of Atletico. Yes, they are. After their victory against Getafe earlier on Saturday, Barcelona are now a point behind Atletico in third.
So it's close, so it's certainly not out of reach. And with the way Real Madrid have performed this season, I don't feel very confident that they're going to win the title necessarily.
They're kind of a ticking time bomb. You know, they're the only unbeaten team left in La Liga.
But I think that kind of covers up their poor performance.
Right. It's not convincing. And Real Sociedad, with a win tomorrow against Sevilla, who are Sevilla are hitting their funk earlier than usual this season. Usually this doesn't happen to them until February, but it's happening to them in September, you know, whenever it happens. A Real Sociedad win against Sevilla, and they go top. It's just been very topsy-turvy. And I keep going back to this point that Atleti are, they're an enigma. Like, there is still a really unknown quality about this team and what they are and what they can be. Who knows? Maybe they really can contend for the title. They're only a point off top through 7 weeks. And maybe they're going to end up fighting for fourth. It's one of those weird situations where we have a new team here with new pieces that have only been together for, in official games, for a month. 5 weeks.
It feels like the top three this year are all extremely flawed in different ways, I think. I mean, Real Madrid have an aging squad that obviously achieved a lot, and then Barcelona have, in my opinion, just like a mishmash of pieces that don't necessarily go together. They look a little bit better today, obviously, but even still, none of these teams look like a nailed-on title contender that's going to run away with it.
No, Madrid have issues with their midfield depth. Atletico need another striker and another left back. And Barcelona's defense has just been a nightmare so far. They kept a clean sheet against Getafe, but their defense is still all over the shop, and Messi's injured. So yeah, all three of the big three have some issues, which does make for a good title race, to be fair, or which theoretically could.
Yeah, let's hope so.
And meanwhile, Granada are second. La Real are fifth, Athletic are sixth.
Just like we all projected.
Right, just like we all thought they would, yeah. And Valencia are firmly mid-table. Although they did beat Athletic on Saturday in a really impressive win at San Mamés.
Yes, that is true.
Very impressive for them.
Yeah, it's weird. It'll be interesting to see what happens in January, what of the big three teams panic and try to fix their problems, because there are problems across the board, like we said.
Yeah, they each have issues and weaknesses that could be addressed. So we will see. Overall, it's a weird one, this result, because there are positives and there are a few negatives, but I think overall more positives than negative. I mean, Atleti are Real Madrid's equal based on this match, and even though they have only one home Madrid derby win in La Liga this century. That was, of course, the infamous 4-0 back in 2015.
Yes, one of the best.
So that's, again, you take the good with the bad in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, you take it, but... it's strange. It's mixed emotions after this match, yeah. Which it isn't normally.
That's how I felt. There's not too much disappointment. I don't feel like it's 2 points dropped. I feel like the result is about right. It was an even game. Both teams played all right. I don't think either one was really better than the other. It was a fine game. It wasn't nearly as bad as some on Twitter have said.
No, I think they see 0-0 and assume it was a bad game. It was a pretty entertaining match, yeah. I thought.
0-0 doesn't always mean it's stale or it's terrible football or you can make sweeping judgments on either side. No, there's more nuance to it than that. There's more context to it than that. And this was an intense game. The derbies, just rivalries, like intra-city rivalries in particular, kind of lend themselves to what's going on, like, beyond the scoreline. You know, what's going on in terms of the atmosphere, of the ambiance, what's being said on the pitch. Little things like that that kind of add up to a more cohesive whole. It's not always about the performance. It's not always about, you know, how many combined goals were there. Was it a 5-goal thriller? It's not about that so much.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And there still is time. I think there are a lot of positives in terms of the defense, like we said, has looked great. Tomas was brilliant. The midfield is still a bit of a mess, but it's looking better.
I think all that is true. But I also do think that this game could have gone on for like another 200 minutes and it would have still been 0-0. It would have still been goalless. This was just one of those games where the ball wasn't going to go in.
Yeah, it seemed that way.
You know, it is what it is. So Atletico still have just the one loss this season. 4 wins, 2 draws, and 1 defeat. If you think about it, 14 points from your first 7 with a new squad, pretty much, that's not a bad return. Could be better, but not a bad return, and it's kind of buoyed by the fact that La Liga is kind of weird so far this year.
It is definitely weird. It is definitely, definitely weird.
And Atletico have not quite taken full advantage, but they're in the hunt. You know, they're in this, and you know they still have a pretty busy fixture list until the next international break, starting with this trip to Russia on Tuesday, and then Valladolid away next weekend.
Yeah, it's actually a tough month. I mean, you wouldn't think Lokomotiv or Real Valladolid will be too much of a test, but then you have Valencia, Leverkusen, and Athletic all in a run there, which is not going to be great.
That's a nasty little week right after the international break.
Yeah, exactly. Hitting those three teams is not ideal.
That's a possibly very nasty little run of fixtures. But yeah, this game away on Tuesday, let's preview it briefly. In Russia against Lokomotiv. The last time Atleti played away to Lokomotiv, it went pretty well, Rob, didn't it? It went fine.
Yeah.
A 5-1 win in the second leg of the Europa League round of 16 tie. 8-1 on aggregate. An absolute thrashing.
Yeah, it was pretty devastating, of course, on the run to win the Europa League that year. That was when Angel Correa looked like a good player. As we all might remember, they have a lot of players that people have probably heard of, like João Mario and Krakowiak.
They have a good
roster. Even Adair is there.
They have a pretty good squad. There's some names and some talent there. They beat Zenit on Saturday 1-0. They are second in the Russian Premier League table. 7 wins, 2 draws, 2 defeats from 11 games. A +8 goal difference. That win over Zenit is a big one because it's a three-way tie atop the Russian league and just 3 points separating first from fifth. Pretty competitive up there.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously it's never ideal to have to travel to Russia. But like they got some good players in there. I mean, they have some quality. I mean, you think about Krakowiak and João Mario in particular. These were players that were rated as being very expensive to purchase just a few years ago.
Highly coveted, especially Krakowiak, who scored the winner against Zenit today.
Yeah, when he even before the move to PSG, which was kind of bad all around. And João Mario's been rated pretty highly at times. And we know what Adair can do from the Euros in 2016.
Yeah.
That'll probably be the highlight of his career, but in before he scores a hat-trick against Atletico.
There you go.
Yeah,
and Eder was also the one who shattered Felipe's leg. It wasn't intentional, but he did kind of fracture his leg by clattering right into it, chasing after a through ball.
That did happen.
Yeah. So this will be a tough one. I think the advantage for Atleti is that they've done the Russia trip before. They have done the post-Soviet states trips before. To Russia, to Kazakhstan, to Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
They've made these trips before, more often than not successful. Although we do have the instances of the goalless draw at Astana, the goalless draw at Karabash. Those were fun results. Let's hope we don't have a repeat of that on Tuesday.
Let's hope for the belting Tomas goal rather than the result from the Karabash game that year.
And that is a noon start. Usually it's earlier when a Russian team is involved, but it is a 12 o'clock my time start, which is 9 o'clock in Madrid.
Yeah, not awful, I suppose.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Hector Herrera gets the start, because Koke Sal and Tomas all played 90 minutes.
Yeah, maybe Marcus Llorente as well. We'll see on that one. I would also anticipate Correa starts, not that any of us want to see it. But Correa and Morata wouldn't surprise me, to be honest.
Yeah, Morata will definitely be in there. Not sure if he will be together with Costa, although Simeone could finally do it. He could finally put Costa and Morata out there with João Félix behind them. Which really might mean we did get a question on Twitter about this, like the relationship between João Félix and Diego Simeone. This is probably what Cholo's been waiting for, and he finally could do it on Tuesday. Is kind of put João Félix in the hole behind those two number nines and just have him ping passes in there all day. Could happen. That could be the best role for him.
It could be. It's kind of a tough match to experiment with that, seeing as it's a long trip and the players may not be in the best form for it, but it could happen.
It could, and there will be another chance Sunday against Valladolid, a team that is going to be fighting relegation this season. There will be another chance there with the international break coming up just after. So, yeah, that's where we're at. That's what we're doing as we bear down on the group stage match day two. This is a really important one, especially after the draw against Juventus. Is this a must-win, do you think?
No. I mean, in theory, against the worst team in the group, you'd like for it to be, but I think given the fact that it's in Russia, you can't take it for granted. But 3 points would be real nice.
They'd be important. Juve hosting a Bayer Leverkusen at home on Tuesday evening as well. You would think that's a Juventus win. Although Leverkusen are frisky. That you'd think would be a Juve win. So
I think so.
I think this is probably a must win, honestly, for Atletico. I think they do have to win this one. You don't want to have to put your fate against Leverkusen, because they do have to go to Germany still, and they still have to go to Turin. That's not till the end of November, but there are a couple tough trips still to come. This may be the
tough. If they don't get 3 points in this game, they basically have to win against Bayer Leverkusen.
They have to take both of those games.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is arguably the toughest trip of those three because of the location and the conditions. Obviously, we still keep in mind that Atletico were pasted by Juventus in Turin last season. But this is, in terms of distance, this is the toughest one.
Yeah, and hopefully the other teams experience the same thing. But we shall see. Juventus look okay, but they also don't look like an unstoppable force. I mean, the start of the Sarri era hasn't been brilliant for them.
Yeah, still not so convincing, although they did beat Spal on Saturday.
Yeah, but of course, Inter top of the table, which I don't think too many people would have thought when they sold Mauro Icardi.
Yeah, good for Inter. The Alexis Sanchez experience today.
Yeah, turns out he just was shit at Man United.
Who knew?
Fine by me. But good for Godin. We wish him the best.
The goal and the red card for Alexis, and Godin gave a nice interview to Marca the other day. Very complimentary, of course, toward Simeone, toward Atletico.
I'm not sure.
Okay, my Alexa just went off for no discernible reason.
Probably Alexis. Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah, that's why.
The Alexa Sanchez experience.
Actually, it means her hearing probably is really good if she thinks I was calling her name. That would be true.
Yes, indeed.
But no, good for Godin and good for Inter. Would, of course, like to see a title race in Serie A. That'd be cool.
Yes, that would be great.
That would be. All right, man. Anything else?
I think that's it.
All right. Rob Walker, thank you so much for joining me on this edition of Colchonero Chat.
Always a pleasure.
You can follow Rob Walker on Twitter at rwalk03. I, too, am on Twitter at jbbaron. Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. You can also like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe to our podcast on, well, any platform of your choosing. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts if you would be so kind. Head over to our Patreon page as well, patreon.com/ColtGeneroChat, where you can get exclusive bonus podcasts, instant analysis coming back on Tuesday when Atleti play Lokomotiv, and an international affairs desk episode's coming soon because we do have some updates from South America, Rob, particularly Brazil, particularly two former Atletico fullbacks.
Oh, yes.
One of whom is playing in the Copa Libertadores semifinal.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know how much I love those shows.
So we'll do that next week as well.
Woohoo!
Until next time, adios.